Praise ye the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adeyemi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 30387, Phoenix, Arizona, USA. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you help the listener to be able to grasp something and understand this message, which is the message of the hour. Thank you, Lord. And give me the intellect and the word that will bless the people in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, listener, I want you to consider this message that I'm going to preach in a moment. We all know that the Lord is coming soon. But I want to talk to you about the prophecies that have already been shown over the centuries that the Lord will not come until He has found his church ready. And when we say the church being ready, what is the Lord waiting for? What is the Lord waiting for? Let me first of all point to you in the Gospel of John chapter 1. For I pray that you will let this message burn into the house of believers that are listening, so that they can prepare themselves and follow the precepts and follow the steps that the Lord has highlighted. He said, quicken your pace. Now, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, here is what the Lord's plan and the Lord's purpose has been. Here in verse 12, this is Gospel of John chapter 1, where he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In verse 12, he said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now let me read it again. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So in a nutshell, God is reproducing himself. That was the plan of God. He said, "Let us create man in our image, in the image of God." And when God created Adam, the Bible says God created Adam, he made Adam in his own image. And think of it, you that have children, or that know what it means to have children, your child is your image, is actually what it means. Now, that is physical, biological image of you. Now, when you begin to raise this child to become somebody like you, that is when it's actually your full image. That is, when he has your likeness, when he behaves the way you want him to behave, you're actually creating somebody in your own image, your temperament, your attitude. That is the full image. The biological image is one part of it. Then the raising of the child to be just like what you want is the second part of it. Now, when God said he created man in his own image, we have the image physically, having two eyes, one nose, two hands, and all those type of the structure of man is in the image of God. But beyond that is that he wants us to be in his image. God is reproducing himself. And he created man in his own image. The physical, biological image is one half of it. Then the raising of the child is the second half of it. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the Jews in his sermon. He said, Ye are of your father the devil, when he was talking to the Jews, because he said Abraham did not, they said they are the children of Abraham. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. So we know that the Jews he was talking to, they were actually descendants of Abraham biologically. That is correct. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was confronting them, said they were doing the deeds of their father. And they say, "Oh, we were not born of fornication, we were born of one father. It's even God is our father." And they say, "Well, if you are born of God, you will be doing the works of God. It's where you seek to kill me. That is not God's way of doing things." So what we are saying then is you can have a biological image, that is just one half. Then the likeness and the behavioral image is the key that makes you to really be like your father. So when the Lord was talking to the Jews, he said, "You are of your father, the devil." So now we can now understand when God said he wanted to create man in his image, we have half of the image by being a human being. But the second half of the image is the likeness and the behavioral aspect of an image. And that is the key that God has been working on you as a believer and on me. And we are going to find out what is this image of God that we must be like. That is what Apostle Paul was talking about in the book of Hebrews when he said the Lord Jesus Christ must bring many more sons to glory. Many more sons to glory. In Hebrews chapter 2, let me read it to you in a moment. That is, Christ is to bring many more sons unto glory so that it will not just be one only begotten son, but there will be many more that will be just like Christ. And these that we arrive at that stature of Christ first are called the first fruits unto God. Arriving at the stature of Christ first will be called the first fruits unto God. And God has a number, he must get this number. In the book of Revelation chapter 14, he said 144,000 are the first fruits. That means they arrive at the stature of Christ first. Now, what would we mean by this stature of Christ? What is this characteristics of God that will make us to be in the full image of God? That is what my sermon today is pointing out. Because when you are born again, you are called to be a Christian and you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been given power to become the Son of God. Now, that is not you have not become Son of God yet just because you have been born again, but you have been given power, as many as received Christ. To them gave he power to become the Son of God. Now, you have this power when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, use this power so that you can become a Son of God. Son and daughters, we are talking about now. A Son of God to have all these attributes of God. That is the old gospel, what God intended to have. But this world, he's going to harvest this world. And when he's going to harvest this world, he will get the first fruits first, that become the first sons of God first. Then there will be a final harvest. But every one of us, our goal is to become the sons of God. You will see also in Ephesians chapter 4, where Apostle Paul said, this is the reason why God has put in the church, he has put gifts in the church. And these are the gifts he has put in the church. It's chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In a word, in short, he's saying Christ put all those ministries in the church to build the body of believers, to build you and I physically, spiritually, so that we continue to grow, to become. It says we continue to grow to know, to have the knowledge of the Son of God. That is, what is a Son of God ought to be? What is a Son of God ought to be? And Jesus Christ demonstrated what a Son of God ought to be in power, in character, in word, and in deed. And that is what we are going to point to you. And when we say Son of God, the Bible said God is love. Let's read that in the epistle of 1 John chapter 4. Because this is where we are really going to elaborate on. Every time we talk about the stature of Christ, everybody is thinking of supernatural miracles that he did. Oh, wow, Jesus Christ walked upon water. Oh, wow, Jesus Christ turned water to wine. Oh, wow, I want that kind of power too. Jesus Christ make the blind to see. Oh, wow, I want that power too. Jesus Christ make the lame to walk. Oh, wow, I want that power also. Jesus Christ raised the dead. Oh, wow, I want that. Everybody wants the power. But nobody knows how to get the power. And this is how to get the power, is to become a Son of God. How do you become a Son of God? First, after you have been born again, after you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been given that power to become a son of God. Now you have to grow until you become a son of God. But you got, if you are listening to me, you are not even a believer, you are not born again yet, you've got to first come and become a son and accept Jesus as a son, as your Lord and Savior, so that he can give you this power that will make you become a son of God. Now, this is what God is. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and here is what God said, what the Bible said, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I read it again. He said, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, that will make people say, well, what difference does that make? God is love. What does that really mean? It means a lot. When I begin to keep on listening, and I will be analyzing to you what God is love really means to you and to me. He's saying this is the image that God is talking about, the image of a love child, somebody that is so much loving. Because the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God is love. Now you may say, well, yes, God is love, but God destroyed the Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, God destroyed these people. Yes, God destroyed all of them. How can you say God is love? God also is just. You have to remember that. And God also is merciful. You have to remember that. But God is still love. And we're going to look at the characteristic of this word love, as God sees it, not as we human beings see it. Because many times, in God's love and mercy, he will allow some things to happen which to us will look evil. And it will still be his loving kindness extending it to mankind that way. And that is what we are going to analyze. But in the whole bottom line of all the steps and his outstretched arms and whatever effort he put it out, whatever chastisement is using, it is because of his love. That is what we are going to analyze. And he wants you and I to become a son of love also. A son of love. And that is the key thing that this message is all about today. Do you want to become a son of God? That is, do you want to become a son of love? And you're going to say, well, what does happen to be a son of love? That is where we're going to now go and look at what are the characters of love. Because God has beginning to reveal this to us, that this is what he is talking about when he said we are to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Like I said some minutes ago, I said everybody wants to have this supernatural power that Jesus Christ demonstrated. Every one of us wants to have it, to raise the dead, to make the blind man to see, to make the lame to walk. But when we begin to analyze further what is the motive behind the raising the dead, making the blind to walk, and all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ, the main motive is love for mankind. He has compassion for the sick and he healed them. Now, what is your own motive of wanting to have this supernatural power? Now, check yourself, my brother and my sister that's listening. What is your hidden motive why you love that supernatural power? Most likely, it's not love. It's what? Pride. To show that you have this thing, or you want to have your name to be known that you are the supernatural miracle worker. And God looks at motives rather than actions. So when we begin to analyze, we will see that what God is calling us, calling you and me onto, is to come and become a son of God. Will you like to become? Because that is the only way you can even get the power from God. You may say, well, I see some people, they are not like that, but they still show some of these miracles. God will allow some things to happen, of course, just to invite. We also still do some wonders and miracles, a little bit here, a little bit there. But we are not at the stage that we are talking about. Christ wants to bring all his fullness to us. He wants to do all the miracles that he said, greater works than this shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. He wants us to do it, but we have to come to become like him in all the attributes of God. And what are these attributes of God? God is love. And let's see what love really is. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians and read what are these attributes of love. This is going to be a series, and I'm going to preach on and bring it from different aspects to make sure to see what God, who God is, and how he demonstrated his love for mankind. In every action, whether the action looks like judgment, we will see the love of God being displayed for mankind, for humanity, for whoever he is dealing with. It's still the love of God. Loving kindness, he will call it, to make you repent so that you do not go into doom or destruction. But God is still loving you and all of us and me. And let's see what love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so that we can really quite clearly understand what God is saying when we say God is love. Because when we say love in the book of, if you are looking at the other translation of this Bible by King James Version, they call it charity. Charity has a tone of it's just giving money to people or giving clothes to people. But that is not what love is all about. That is just one aspect of love. And let's look at it from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the Apostle Paul put it here by the Holy Ghost this way. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Let me stop right there. Here, Apostle Paul is saying something about supernatural work, that we all want this supernatural power. Not so, I just mentioned that. Why do you want the supernatural power? You want to be able to raise the dead? Why? You want to be able to make the lame man to walk? Why? You want to make the blind man to see? Why? Ask yourself that question. Why? When you ask yourself, sincerely ask yourself, I'm talking to you as a Christian now, as a believer, you as a born-again believer, ask for what is your motive for wanting that supernatural power. If your motive can be traced down to self, you want something, some glory out of it, then you know this is not love. But God is love. No wonder the old Christian fold have not been demonstrating the power of God much. We have not demonstrated even one quarter of what the Lord Jesus Christ did since he left. But what I want you to know is that God wants us to demonstrate this power. He wants to bring it to us, but he wants us to become like him first, to be his sons manifested. And this is the generation where he wanted to manifest the first fruits that we arrive. Because we have all the holiness, we have all the works and so on, but we still are lacking in this love. Loving one another and loving God fervently, like Apostle Peter said. Loving one another fervently. Why are we not loving one another fervently? It will be the reasons or the errors will be traced back to all of these anti-characters of love that we are reading in chapter 13. You want to be able to speak in tongues, maybe for your own gain, maybe just to show that you have this thing. And he said, you may speak in tongues of men and of angels, but you may still not have this love, because these things that are like gifts can begin to boost your ego, your pride. And you will see in the next verse that love is not prideful. And that is what the Lord is trying to make us to see, that this is the stature of the Son of God that he is looking for. And the church must arrive to that state before he can come. Because he said he has to harvest the earth. You think of yourself, you planted a field and you have been watering this field, and you can see the field, all the things you planted, they are now producing fruits. Yeah, you can see them, but they are all green. Let's say orange trees. You have orange trees planted in your backyard, in your field. And now they blow some flowers. Wow, you know oranges are coming. Very soon they have oranges coming out. Now all their oranges are getting bigger, and they're getting bigger. Now they're all getting big. Now they're all green. You're not going to harvest them yet, but it's because they are still green. you still want something to make them turn from green to orange colors, yellow, whatever you call them. That is when they are ripened. The church is at this stage where we are all producing, we are all having fruits, but the fruits are still green. God cannot harvest it yet. And in harvest, you see some oranges get ripened first, while the rest are still coming. And that is the stage the God is going to have to send something to make them ripen. The ripening of oranges on trees is always sun, the sunshine. After they have gotten enough water from the trees, there must be sunshine. A lot of heat from the sun will make them ripen. And that is the phase whereby God is going to send a lot of sunshine, a lot of heat to make the oranges ripen. This is some of this sunshine that we are talking about. The word that tells us that this is what he's looking for. Love. We must come to that stature of Christ. The stature of love. And in this series, I will point out some of the places where the Lord Christ actually showed that love. In all his sermons, in all his preaching, in all his exhortation, in all his miracles, in all his wonders that he did, he manifested the love of the Father, the love of God to mankind. And that is what we are going to point out in this sermon. And he said, you may speak with tongues of men and angels and still don't have this love. So you just be a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And he said in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Now you wonder, why did Apostle Paul put this chapter here? If you read the earlier chapter, chapter 12, and all that Apostle Paul had been dealing with the Corinthians about, they were confronting one another with, I have the supernatural gift, I have the gift of this, I am a prophet. Oh, you are a prophet, I'm the teacher. No, you are an apostle. And they are confronting one another. Everybody wants to be the biggest. Everybody wants to be the greatest. Everybody competing with one another. My ministry is greater than your ministry. Oh, no, I'm the apostle. Oh, no, you are a prophet. Oh, no, I'm an apostle prophet. Oh, no, you are just a teacher. And they are competing with one another. And our apostle Paul began to read between the lines and said, wait a minute here. I think the gifts is beginning to blindside the brethren. And they are forgetting the main calling. That is why the last verse of chapter 12 said, yes, covet earnestly the best gifts. I mean, desire all these supernatural gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now he was telling them that these gifts of I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I have the speaking in tongues. Oh, I speak in tongues and interpret also. No, I prophesy. Everybody's saying my gift is better than your gift. That becomes competition, that becomes pride, and it divided churches. Apostle said, I will show you a more excellent way. And he said, the excellent way is love. The love is beginning to miss among the believers. And that is why he started chapter 13. So you may speak with all these tongues of men and of angels and interpret and prophesy, and everybody wants to lick your mouth just because you are telling them their future. He said, but if you don't have what he is talking about here, love, say you are nothing. And he will say, even if you have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and can have you have faith to move mountains and move them into the sea, like the Lord said, he said, if you don't have love, he said, you are nothing. So he said, well, what has love got to do with it? Let's read on. He said, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, this is where some people think this is the love. Oh, I give money, I pay a lot of money to the poor people. He said, you can still even do those out of ego, wanting people to see you, perhaps, so that you have something to lay claim to. He said, this can also be done without the real love we are talking about here. He said, do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor? And do I give my body to be burned and have not love? He said, how can you give your body to be burned? He burned me for him. Like, say, well, I can lay down my life for this fellow. Do you really love this fellow? Or you just want them to see that you can do anything? He said, that is what we is telling him. That love is deeper than just giving. It's deeper than just laying down your life for the other person. In fact, you can remember what the Lord Jesus, what Apostle Paul wrote. He said, hardly can we find any human being that will lay down his life for the next person. How much more if that next person is your enemy? Somebody that does not even like you. He said, people may even lay down their life if they see a righteous man. They say, oh, that man is righteous. Don't beat him. Don't kill him. Well, I'll take his beating. I'll take his... People may even do that. But he said, God commended the love of Christ to us in that when we were yet sinners, he died for us. Can you imagine? That is the utmost love. And he's saying it's not just to show. It's not a show off. It is a love coming from the heart. A love that Christ has coming from the heart is nature. We have to become that kind of nature. Not a make-believe kind of love. Not a show off kind of love where you say, well, don't be this. I believe this man is righteous. Beat me for him. You say, you can even do that for show off so that your name can go in the books that this man suffered for the other guy. No. He said, while we were yet sinners, those men that were nailing Jesus Christ to the cross, Jesus Christ was dying for them. Do you believe that? And he was not dying for them for purpose. And he was feeling the pain and the hurt they were doing to him. How many of us can feel the pain? If somebody slap your face, your eyes grow red. How much more when you? How much more to be dying for that fellow that slapped your face? You see what I'm talking about? It's a nature that God is trying to change our nature so that we have a nature of love. This is what we are talking about. Can you be like that? I'm going to continue this sermon in the next series because this is going to be deep. This is the stature of Christ that God is calling you onto. And I pray the Lord will burn it into your heart. Turn us again in the next broadcast. For I pray for all that are listening, bless their heart that they will understand this message and they will want to submit to it so that they can become sons of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Write to us, Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 30387, Phoenix, Arizona 85046, USA. And we will send you some more exhortation.